things that are holding you back, the first thing I tell people to do is fast. And what I mean by fast is, my type of fast is more mimicking fasting than the actual fasting, taking in high-level nutrients, low-calorie, high-level, high-dense, nutritionally dense, low-calorie foods. I always start with bone broth. I prefer chicken, but beef is good, and vegetable is just as good. And fermented foods. The fermented foods are going to give you the healthy probiotics and the prebiotic that the probiotics need to thrive in your gut. The bone broth is going to give you some protein, some electrolytes, some collagen. So your body is not going to go into shock from just totally shutting food off completely. So as your nutritionally dense foods, now your body has the ability to say, okay, I got my nutrition. Now let me tap into this stored energy that I've been putting away for a rainy day. And that's when you start increasing your metabolism. Your body quickly goes into ketosis after the first 24 to 36 hours, depending on the person. And then it's going to start creating autophagy after day four. Autophagy basically is your body's sending in the cleaning crew to clean up the debris. And it'll take all that debris that's in your cells, that's in your fat cells, that's in your joints, that's in your gut, and start breaking that stuff down and converting it into energy. It starts there first. And so that's where the healing begins. And then you continue that for days, weeks, and months. And then you adjust your lifestyle to help facilitate the healing. So, you know, first you start by lowering the toxic load, fasting and abstaining, pour the high-level dense nutrients into your body, give it a little time. And during that time, you want to move. You don't want to be working out, but you want to move. You want to walk. And I tell people all the time, you know, once you clear the clutter and you change the terrain, your body goes into ketosis and autophagy. Now your everyday chores, you know, walking up the stairs instead of taking the elevator, you know, doing laundry, working in the yard, those things will start allowing you to burn body fat because they're low intensity, but they're, usually most of those things take, you know, several minutes, 30, 40 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, those type of things. Your body will release fatty acids for energy instead of burning sugar. And when you get your body to that point, then, like I said, then the healing can begin.
Oh, that's powerful stuff. You know, I guess no matter what question you have, if you do all that kind of stuff, that'll probably go a long way to fixing it. But anyway, thank you. Okay.
It's very similar. I like to use analogies. It's very similar to when you want to make, a special dinner, Thanksgiving dinner or whatever. The first thing you do is clean up the kitchen. And then you stock up on supplies. And then you know what I'm saying? You preheat the oven. All those things are kind of like I used the term last week, getting yourself in shape to get in shape. So,
awesome. Okay, so star six, has somebody got the question for Anthony?
This is Jerry in St. Louis. I got a couple of questions for Anthony.
Awesome. Were you at the event this weekend? You're in St. Louis?
Yeah, we talked. Remember, we talked. I talked with you.
Okay,
you gave me some good input.
I didn't even hear your name. I just tried to break. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, you were telling me how to help get rid of my little paunchy gut here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I have a question. As far as exercise goes, like this morning, I got up and I had my my coffee, and then I went on the treadmill for a mile. Would that be better to do it later in the day, or is first thing in the morning okay?
I recommend first thing in the morning. For several reasons, but the main reason is, you know, you've been fasting all night, so your body you're already in a natural caloric deficit. So when you get on that treadmill and you start moving, your body's going to have a couple of choices. it's either going to burn. If you find the right intensity, your body will release fatty acids during that process. It doesn't really burn the fat per se, but it releases those fatty acids for energy for then. So I recommend first thing in the morning. I recommend, you know, staying under 3 miles an hour. I usually go somewhere between 2 miles an hour and 2.5 miles an hour. And I, instead of me going faster, I just raise the incline. That'll get your heart rate up. You want to get your heart rate in the fat burning zone somewhere between, you know, 115 and 125, maybe 130, just depending on your age. But 115 to 130 is going to put you in the fat burning zone. I always tell you before you start, you know, hydrate. You know, first thing in the morning, first thing I do in the morning, even before I use the bathroom, is drink a big, gigantic glass of water. That kind of gets everything, gets the plumbing flowing. Like I said, you've been fasting all night. You're probably at your lowest level of hydration. So when you have that big glass of water, it kind of starts the engine in the morning. So I recommend doing that and then getting on the treadmill.
Okay, and then I have another question about you do the broth, bone broth in the morning, and then there was another thing, I forget what you called it, which like pickled, what was the other
fermented,
thing you do?
Fermented foods.
Fermented, yeah. Fermented. How do you do that? What do you do there?
Yeah, if you guys are taking, if you're taking notes, write this down. www.olive, like olive, my pickle.
Olive My Pickle. Yeah, I've heard of that. Okay, very good.
OliveMyPickle.com has 34 different types of live probiotic fermented foods. They have brine where you can just drink it, take the shots. I drink a shot of that. And then they also have, you know, sauerkraut and mixed vegetables. And I mean, like I said, they have 34 different choices. So, and if you use the righteous, Righteous 10 code, they'll give you 10% off.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Thanks, Jerry. Star 6, anybody?
Oh,
got a question?
Jerry, okay. Hey, Jerry, when you said, I didn't hear your name at first, so that's why I didn't recognize you. Okay, cool, it was Jerry. Thank you.
How long do you recommend on fasting?
Fasting? You know, My type of fasting is more intermittent, and, you know, so you got the 8 hours of sleep, and then I always tell people, you know, I actually like to call it intermittent eating, basically. So, you know, we're programmed to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and two snacks, which pretty much makes it to where you're eating every 4 hours. And depending on what that is, that hardly never gives you enough time for your insulin levels to return to normal. Your blood sugar levels might go back to normal, but most of the time, especially if there's any processed food involved, your insulin level stays up. So I recommend, you know, doing something more like a 16-8 or, so in other words, 8 hours of the day, in, you know, say from noon till 8 p.m. Eat whatever you want in those hours. Me personally, I usually start eating, you know, around 2 o'clock, in between 2 and 8 p.m. So that's a six-hour window. And you can play around with it, whatever works for you, depending on your work schedule, depending on your workload, your activity load. But what you want to do is just put a lot more space in between your insulin levels, time to go back down. Like I said, most people's blood sugar will return to normal, but their insulin levels will stay elevated. And, you know, that's where most of the damage is done from the insulin, not so much as the blood sugar.
Thank you.
But starting to cleanse, you know, like I say, because, you know, bone broth and fermented foods, super low calorie. You're talking, you know, a couple hundred calories per sitting. And because of the fermented foods are usually high fiber, so it's going to require probably more calories to break that down than are actually in the food. They call it negative caloric intake. And it's high levels of nutrients, like I'm saying, it will stimulate your body to start breaking itself down. The number one process in a takes on. So I think that, you know, when you first start fasting, I think, you know, the first couple of days, your liver is full of glycogen. Your muscles are full of glycogen. So you have tons and tons of sugar to burn off. So I would try to go as long as possible on those first 3 days. And then after that, switch to something like a 16-8, you know, or 18-6, something like that.
Well, thank you very much.
That's fun stuff. Hey, talk about pickle. I think one of the most fascinating things is as you look on a jar of pickles and calories, it'll say zero calories.
Yes.
And I love what you're talking about, Anthony. Not just food value, but if you look at pickles in that are fresh packed, you know, that are in the dairy cage, you know, the refrigerator, not canned, not on the shelf. Those are dead pickles. You want to, and in fact, I've got a friend that said something that just stuck in my mind forever. He said, you know what a canned green bean is? It's the embalmed cadaver of a dead green bean. And so it's lifeless food. So you want to eat live food. And so, wow, I love fermented food.
That's so correct.
Yeah, so you know, it costs more, but the taste and food value of fresh pickles, sauerkraut, and also don't throw the juice away. You'll acquire a taste for it. The other thing is, like, if you have some extra food, like one of my favorite things is sweet peppers, and I'll slice them up and put in the jar of pickles, or I'll put it in the sauerkraut, you know, and just pack that in with the sauerkraut. Kimchi. I might do a little cross pollination. I'll throw in a spoon of kimchi into the pickles or the sauerkraut to kind of spice it up. So anyway, just some fun thoughts. But jar six. If anybody's got a question,
just a pointer. When you look at the back of the label, if it has vinegar in it, it's not fermented. It's pickled. So if it has vinegar in it, it's you know, it's probably pasteurized and pickled, so it's not going to have those live probiotics. You want it should say live probiotic on the label, but it should just be could possibly have sugar in it, but like I say, it won't have vinegar in it. That's kind of like the telltale sign of whether or not it's fermented or pickled.
Thank you for saying that. I bought a jar of pickles. And we got a health food store, and they actually make a lot of their own stuff. In fact, a lot of fermented food is made right there. And I'm thinking, okay, here's this big jar, but my goodness, it's $10. I thought, you know what? It looks real. And I remember looking on the jar, the reading label, no vinegar, no added vinegar. But, oh, my goodness, real tart, sour, flavorful. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, it's cool stuff. Star six. Anybody got another question?
Yeah, I have a question for a friend of mine. I can't talk on the phone right now.
I can't hear very well.
Oh. Is someone else talking?
Sorry, I just wanted to say we can't hear very well.
Okay.
Go ahead. I think that was Deborah.
Yes, that's Deborah. I have a dear friend that's on the call, but she can't talk. So she texts me a question. She thinks she may have already got it answered, but I'm going to go ahead and ask it for her just to be sure, Tony. Someone who's on a lot of medication, mm-hmm. How should they begin this healing process with these products, with Amplify?
Our products don't have any contraindications. The only thing that I would say that you would have to use precaution with is the coffee because it has stimulants in it. But it should be fine as well. But that would be the only thing that you would have to take in consideration. Everything else is pretty much food.
And, Tony, she was thinking what you just said, that would probably be the answer to the question, the fasting with fermented foods and bone broth. Is that your take on that?
As far as the medication?
Yeah, someone who's on a lot of medication.
Yeah, that's going to be fine. You know, without knowing the medication, I can't really smoke. But, you know, the beauty of fasting is you could start right after you. You know, you could eat a steak and potato and whatever and then start fasting immediately after you put the fork down. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the beauty of it. And I tell people all the time, that's God's gift to us, really. I think, we've been programmed to eat. And once you switch your mentality or your mindset over to eating, eat to live, there's certain things that, again, we're all human. We all love delicious treats and all that type of stuff. But, as adults, we should be able to say, okay, hey, I have to think about, and I always tell people, especially as adults, I got grandkids now. So when the decisions that I make for myself, I include my children and my grandchildren in it. In other words, I want to be here to experience my grandchildren have children. And in order to do that, I have to take care of myself. And so if you put it in that context, it makes it easier to get your right mindset as to you're not being selfish. And, again, I'm a cookie monk, and I love burgers and fries and all that type of stuff. But I treat myself with those things instead of living off those things.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good morning, Tony. This is Chip Lozon. I have a question. Go ahead, lady. You go first. Thought I heard a lady that was going to ask a question. I'll go ahead and ask it, Tony. Just Chip Littlejohn.
Yep.
One of the very first times I heard you talk, you said something that's been echoing in my mind ever since, and I think it's something that everybody would probably enjoy and benefit from the answer. You said that your impetus to become a bodybuilder started by being a thin person, and you were 6'2", 165, and on the way from 6'2", 165 to 6'2", 300, you absolutely refused to let your waist change. And last time you spoke, you said it was 31 and a half inches when you were at your peak, and that has to be pretty close to a 165-pound waist. I'd love to hear the psychology and some of the methods you used along that way. A lot of us carry our potential improvement around our belt line.
Yes. To be honest with you, I should tell, and I'm gonna say this right now. I'm a humble person, but I'm also very I'm vain. I used to be severely vain. I think now I love myself, so I have a healthy love for myself. But back then, I realized my strength, and I also realized my weaknesses. So being tall and lanky, I realized, okay, I'm not going to be able to outlift everyone. I'm not going to be the biggest person, all those things. But I use it as an advantage as far as creating that illusion that end up having people call me the X-Man. And so when it comes to your waistline, that's where your body stores your stress, your extra calories from stress or hormonal, which, they're all linked together. So you got gut health or what they call it, dysbiosis, and then you got the extra calories, and then you got the stress. Well, that's what causes your body to put it around the middle. Most of us we're not overweight in our legs and arms, because they're always moving. And it's like your storage. It's like our camel hump is our waistline. And so when you take it, in bodybuilding, like I said, the way I was taught was, small waist, wide shoulders, big legs. So it just was easy for me to focus in on that. And because I knew I couldn't be the biggest guy in the world, I wasn't in a hurry to grow. And speaking to people who aren't trying to do that at all, you have to understand, as adults, he needs about 20 grams of glucose, and then that's it. So that's like, you know, half an apple or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's the reality of it. Unfortunately, government and the food industries, you know, the snacks and the things that they make readily available are all carbohydrate-based. And the reason why is because that's cheap for them. So they can create these things for pennies and then charge us, you know, whatever they want. They use all these chemicals and flavorings and all that to make us addicted to it. Those type of foods are just going to, number one, stimulate your brain in a negative way. It's going to alter your gut microbiome. They're going to change your hormones because they're destroying your gut. And then you're going to be stressed out. And then guess what? The first thing you're going to grab is those type of things to comfort yourself. It's just like a game. It's a vicious cycle. So when you want to lose your middle, then you're going to you have to increase your raw green leafy vegetables, your healthy fat. Try to lower your stress level. You got to move more. Those are the things that are going to allow you to burn what you already have, but also prevent you from adding more to it. So you got to get a little vain when it comes to your midsection, to be honest with you. All these people walking around with these six packs is because in their mind, they get the mentality and then they put the effort and the focus on their midsection. Because, like I say, you're not going to pack on a lot of fat. Pack and get fat, but usually that's when that happens after your midsection has started to get maxed out. Then it'll start moving up and moving out. But it's okay to be vain a little bit when it comes to your waistline, because it's going to take a lot of extra mentality to do those reps of abs. And I don't recommend these, you know, hundreds of reps for abs. My recommendation for abs is reverse crunches. So regular crunches, unless you know how to do them, they don't really work your abs. They work all the other surrounding muscles. But reverse crunches, Supermans, which two very easy, simple exercises. As an adult, that's pretty much all you will need. Two or three sets of that, four or five times a week. Being conscious of processed foods, because first of all, they're processed, they break down too fast, or they're already broken down, rather. And then they also have a lot of chemicals in it, which then trigger things in your brain, and all those things tie together to make your body store the fat and the excess calories around your midsection. So,
thank you for those thoughts. Thank you for those thoughts. I thought you're the ultimate person to ask, because I don't think anybody's ever done it as well as you did it.
You know, like I say, I was known for that. I used to have guys always ask me, and the first thing I would tell them is, man, how you get your waist so small? It's like, I don't let it get big. And if you just look at it that way, and the biggest my waist has ever been was really recently, probably about a year ago. It was like 39, and I freaked out. I was like, whoa. And it happened kind of so fast because I've been through a lot of ups and downs and a lot of stress. And, of course, I wasn't working out. I wasn't really, other than walking around the park, I wasn't really doing anything. And I was eating a lot of, processed food, a lot of garbage. I mean, I'm human. I have the issue as well. But, once I snap out of it and get focused, I know exactly what to do. I went straight to fasting, bone broth, sauerkraut, increased my raw green leafy vegetables, did my little couple of sets of abs, make sure I'm moving all day long, and then, like I say, meditate. Those cold showers help me with my stress level. So it's not necessarily a recipe, but there's a lot of elements.
I love it when you say that. Just don't let it get big. That's a pretty powerful statement. I can tell that means a lot to you, and it resonated with me when you said it as well.
Yeah, we have to hold ourselves accountable. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people will buy into the excuses, and you got to understand, if you're physically, not able to do certain things, I understand, but it's like water. find another way around, you know what I mean? And I always also open myself up because, you know, I used to train people who couldn't stand up straight, people who, you know, were 500 pounds, people who, you know what I'm saying? And so I had to sit here and try to figure out, okay, well, you know, this person is paying me to figure it out. So, and I'm not charging anyone, so I'm telling you right now, just, you know, whatever it is, reach out to me and I will help you figure it out.
Thank you.
One of the things I used to do, and I don't really recommend this, other than if you have access to it, back in the day I used to do colonics, and that was the reason why I did colonics. Number one, you know, I used to eat 7 or 8 meals a day, and to be honest with you, there's no way that my body was able to process all of that, you know, especially just eating every 3 hours. So colonics used to help me clear the clutter, you know what I mean? So I wasn't into fasting back then. So if someone has, you know, a lot of people are plugged up, and, you know, doing a couple of colonics to get you jump started might not be a bad idea. I do like coffee enemas and stuff like that now, hydrogen peroxide enemas now, which is like a baby colonic, you know, it's very minimal. But that just keeps me from, you know, getting too backed up. That and just eating a lot of raw green leafy vegetables. Start there.
Awesome insight. Thank you for those hints.
Yep. I'm stuck in my mind is that your midsize is your camel's hump. So, wow.
It is.
I'm going to be thinking about that.
It is. I mean, you know, those extra inches on your waistline, that, like I say, that comes from stress and all that processed food. And I watched a video of an animation of how it happens. It's like when you take in too much fat and sugar and your body doesn't know what to do with it, it pushes it out. That's why it expands. I got that visual. It messed me up. I was like, wow, that's how it happens. But, yeah, your body is very marked. And that's why I tell you know, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't, you know, take care of the temple, it turns into a dumpster. It starts collecting and holding on to all those things. And next thing you know, months and years go by, and you gain 4, 3, 4, 5 inches in your waist. I don't know if you guys were at the convention, but my guy Ron lost 11.5 inches in his waist in like 4 months just from taking my original version of Earth. And it blew my mind. But like I said, you start collecting, you start holding. So your liver function and your kidney function, those two things, you know, break everything down and help you eliminate it. So that's another thing that I started focusing on, my liver health and my kidney health.
And also what you're talking about goes back to a book I saw many years ago, Dr. Bernard Jensen, and I think it was Bowel Health and Internal Cleanliness, and it was a gross-up. X-ray pictures of people with just decayed, impacted stuff in their colons, and it was creepy that many people were carrying around many pounds of just almost cement that was just stuck in there. So,
yeah.
I don't like to think about it, but boy, even worse if it's there. What you want, that would be the most important. So,
you ever see people who have skinny arms and legs, big bellies, but they don't really eat that much? You ever see that?
Yeah.
That's your liver. You know your liver can expand to 5 times its normal size. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say one of the most famous or infamous things right now is what they call non-alcohol fatty liver disease, and it's just plaguing us. Sugar and alcohol metabolically are very similar, and the way we use sugar today, it's a dangerous drug.
Yeah. Fructose is not fruit. So fruit has fructose made it perfectly balanced. So that's totally different. So I'm not even speaking on fruit. What I'm talking about is like high fructose corn syrup, fruit juices. That's fructose. Fructose can only be metabolized in the liver. And it metabolizes the same way as alcohol. So even if you don't drink, if you're drinking Coke, you know, Cokes, regular Coke, you know, stuff like that, all being metabolized in the liver, and you're going to get fat. Some level of fatty liver, period, point blank. So the fastest way to reverse that is, you know, eliminate all processed fructose and sugar, increase your greens, your fibrous, carbs, you know. Basically, I always tell people, the easiest thing to eat is raw green leafy vegetables. Chop them up and real fine. You know, put some little, you know, oil and vinegar dressing on there, some salt and pepper. And make that your friend. It is. It will help you out tremendously.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, have a big salad at least once a day. Yeah, I think somebody else has got a question.
This is Sharon, and I was wondering if you clean your gut up, will that then clear out your brain?
100%, because that's where the garbage is coming from. The garbage in your brain comes from your gut.
Can you say that again? Sorry, I'm having trouble.
Oh, Siri, be quiet. Go ahead. Yes, you heard of leaky gut leads to brain fog and leaky brain. That was Babette's discussion this weekend. You know, like I say, your gut lining from the rooter to the tooter is only one cell thick. You can see through that, really. And that's your protection. That's the villi in your gut is like the bodyguard into your bloodstream and into your system. And so when you take antibiotics, processed food, that actually scrapes or removes or breaks down the villi, which causes leaky gut. And now instead of broken down like amino acids and fatty acids and glucose molecules going into your bloodstream, you know, sometimes you get whole chunks of food and stuff like that, which it definitely does not belong there, and it travels through your body and wreaks havoc. So tightening up the junctions in your gut, regrowing the villi, the righteous elements in it to help you regrow the villi in your gut. And I got a guy, one of my clients who I met, he's been on my program, I think 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and he was severe type 2 diabetic. And now his fasting blood sugar is down in the 80s now in just a few weeks from following the regimen. So it's definitely possible. I've proved it over and over with hundreds and hundreds of people. And as soon as you do that, things start to turn around.
Thank you.
What's the solution for people who do not need to lose weight?
You mean lose pounds on the scale, you saying?
Yes, absolutely.
Yep, that's what I mean? Well, you still clear the clutter. Yep. And so none of this stuff is going to make you lose weight. So if you're actually losing anything, it's just, you know, like my cleanse, you shouldn't lose any actual flesh weight. Most of the weight that people lose in that first 7 days is toxins, water weight, old, undigested, unprocessed, you know, fecal matter and all that. You're not really tapping into a little bit, but nothing significant. I would say if somebody lost 10 pounds on the righteous cleanse, maybe 1 pound of that would be actual flesh, and the other 9 would be all the other things I just mentioned. So it's not going to make you lose weight per se. If you did, like just say, you know, say you were a healthy weight, you weighed what you wanted to weigh, and you did this program, you would probably lose 5 to 8 pounds of just water and toxins. But that would come right back. That would just come right back.
Okay, thanks.
I mean, but it should come back different because you gotta say, if you eliminate the toxin, then continue eating clean, you will gain the water weight back, but it will be regular water instead of outside of the cell. So.
Thanks.
I remember the first time I did the keto diet the right way. I lost 22 pounds in the first 8 days, and then I gained 22 pounds back over the next 8 days, but I looked and felt completely different. It basically just is, you know, my body, you know, you want to allow your body to take out the trash, let it go, and then you start eating what you're supposed to eat and drinking what you're supposed to drink. And now when it comes back, it goes back into those cells, but now it's in the right place. So that's when I knew it was working, because I became fat adaptive. I was eating up to 250 grams of fat a day, which how can you not get fat from that? If you follow our programming, I just kept getting leaner and leaner and leaner. So then I realized that minimize the carbohydrate intake. Like I said, your body can actually make carbs, so you don't even need starch in our diet. But when you taking in the right amount of fat, so in other words, if I'm giving my body all the fat that it needs and I'm keeping my insulin levels low, then your body will have no need to store fat, and it'll start getting rid of it. It's crazy. It doesn't, you know, like I said, it doesn't sound, it goes totally against our programming. But, I mean, like I said, I can ask all the people that's going around here in ketosis, they'll tell you. They're getting leaner. They're more clear-headed. They're feeling better, less inflammation. It's just because, you know, your body doesn't, we don't need all that sugar. Your body's running efficiently.
Can you say that again? I'm having trouble hearing.
I mean, this technology drives me insane, how it listens to your every word, and I'm not, I don't even have Siri programmed on my thing, and she's still, like, in my business. I don't know, did you guys hear that? Did you hear my phone talk? I mean, my watch talk?
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway.
Anthony, hey, I got a question for you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Yes.
Awesome. Hey, Thane Shively. I talked last Tuesday briefly about visiting the gym and coming home from the rubber chicken ranch, because I, you know, beat myself up pretty good. But I've got a friend of mine. I'm actually asking a question for him, who goes to the gym with me. Is it possible to be able to burn fat while you're also exercising and trying to build muscle at the same time? That way you can kind of double duty or speed up the process. If so, or if not, what's the proper way to do that?
I will say it is possible, but it's super scientific. It's probably more, more work than he would be willing to do. But it is possible. It's not likely, though, unless you basically dedicate your whole existence to it. You know what I mean? I figured out, and I call it body composition transfer. So, in other words, I'm liberating the stored body fat, and I'm not really gaining muscle, like adding muscle, but I'm diminishing how much muscle is being broken down. So, in that process, you end up gaining muscle, technically. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to confuse you, but what I'm saying is your body is in a constant, it goes from anabolic to catabolic, to anabolic to catabolic. A lot of us stay in a catabolic state or an anabolic state. So when you balance that out to where, you know, like when you're asleep, you're in a catabolic state. When you're training, you're in a catabolic state. But when you're, I'm sorry. When you sleep, you should be in an anabolic state if your diet and nutrition is on point. So a lot of people are catabolic in their sleep, which is not a really good thing unless it's all burning body fat. So it's a fine-tuning and a balancing situation. Casual gym owners, gym goers are not really going to experience that on a high level. Focused, training, dialed-in athletes can do it, but it's still I was him, I would focus on, you know, you can kind of break it up, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I used to do carb cycling. So, in other words, I would do one day of high carbs, then 3 or 4 days of low carbs, then one day of high carbs, 3 or 4 days of low carbs. So, days, I got most of the time I'm losing body fat, and then a couple of days a week, I'm putting myself in a anabolic state, so, you know, and increasing my recovery. So, yes, you can do it, but it's high level, takes a lot of extra effort, a lot of extra planning. Again, like I said, it's probably more work than he would want to put into it, and it is a very slow process. You can't rush that process. So, but I can help him out. You know, we can try to dial him in as much as possible. But it's possible, but it's very hard to do.
All righty. Okay. Thank you, Anthony. We, 5 days a week, we're frequent at the gym for at least an hour. We do that first thing in the morning before we eat. And hydration, you're absolutely right, spot on with hydration. You got to have it first thing in the morning. Otherwise, your energy zaps. You get super fatigued. You get really bad cramps, everything. So, yeah, hydration is huge in the morning.
So let me ask you a question. You train, you go in there kind of on the empty, and then what is your post-workout nutrition look like? And when? When do you, like, when you finish your workout, what happens in the first 30 to 60 minutes after you train?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear the entire question. We got people clearing their throats and coughing and everything else on the phone. I couldn't hear you, Anthony.
Yep.
Sorry.
Mute yourself if you're not talking. So after you finish training, right, that first 30 to 60 minutes you train, what's going on?
After? So what I do when I come home,
yep,
I get more hydration. I hit the earth shake while I'm there because I want to keep my energy up. I don't like I don't like crashing. And then when I come home, I usually finish it off with pure protein. I eat a 3-egg omelet with a little bit of cheese, Munster cheese in there. And that's usually what I do for my breakfast. So zero carbs in the morning.
Okay. All right. So after you train, during that 30 to 90 minute window, that's when you want to have your carbohydrates, carb day. So my favorite post workout carbs is like basmati or jasmine rice and applesauce with a little bit of cinnamon, because you can put that in a Tupperware and just as soon as you I used to use whey protein, but now I switch to amino acids, so I'll do some essential amino acids, whether it be a powder, and my applesauce and rice and cinnamon. I'm talking like before I drive home. So I'll either eat it in the gym or go get in the car and eat it. Then I'll drive home. So you could take the earth and maybe get you some amino acid tablets. I can recommend some for you. And then have that applesauce and rice or earth, those aminos and applesauce and rice, before you even put it in drive, to drive home. Then when you get home, you can have your protein. You probably won't need any more carbs. But that right there, all that nutrition in that hour, and then that meal you have right after that workout, all of that is going to building and repair. So tomorrow when you go to the gym, all that stuff is ready, just locked and loaded and ready to go.
Awesome. Thank you, Anthony. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Next question.
Quick. Will that earth help the liver and the kidneys?
Yep.
100%. Especially if you're fasting. So, you know, again, you know, have no fear. You know what I mean? Like, if you're taking earth, you're getting all your micronutrients. You add the bone broth and fermented foods, now you got a little bit of protein, and you got all those healthy probiotics, those live enzymes and fibers and all those type of things. You don't need any other food. If you can pull that off in 7 days, all that inflammation in your liver, now your liver says, phew, they gave me a break. Let me get rid of some of this clutter, and your liver will start, if you have fatty liver, your liver will start processing that fat out of your liver. If you, your kidneys, all those things, you'll give your body a break, and it'll start eliminating all those things and improve your liver and kidney function. Again, that's exactly what I created Earth is, so you can give your body a break, so it can start the healing process, and that's where it starts. When you lower that toxic load, and like I said, the best way and the fastest way to lower the toxic load is to purposefully not add toxins. So when you don't add them, and then you take in all that hot food, your body will start eliminating all that stuff, and your liver function, your skin will start getting better. Their aches and pains will start diminishing. You get be more clear headed. You'll start sleeping better. All of those things will start taking place.
Thank you.
Well, sign me up.
Hey,
right?
Hey, Anthony, can you hear me?
Most definitely.
Hi, this is Gail. I've been talking to a friend about doing the Righteous program, and they tried to start several times, but they claim they can't seem to get past that craving for sugar. And I'm like, you got to get past that mentally. You got to be ready mentally, to be able to fast. But there actually is there something to help detox those sugar cravings that you know of?
Well, let me start. If you look at the beginning of the program, it says establish your why, right?
Right.
Because sugar craving is all mental. Your brain, your body's not craving sugar. You know what I'm saying? That's a mindset. That's a mentality thing.
Exactly. Earth is sweet already.
So, you know what I'm saying? Like, I do understand. I do understand. But if you have all, and so when you make the righteous, when you make the warrior's blood, that's sweet. The earth is sweet. So they're not really craving sugar. They're just, not to be offensive, they're just weak-minded. And it's because their why is not big enough. You know what I'm saying? If you do this program just to lose weight, you probably won't be successful. Because if you don't eat for 7 days, you're going to lose weight. So that's not even really a big deal. I mean, you know what I mean? So if you're trying to, because you have to understand what's making you crave sugar is the bad bugs. It's the parasites. It's the microbiome that's telling you, hey, you're trying, what are you doing? Why are you fasting? Why are you not feeding us? So they release chemicals in your body to make you feel like crap. So you'll go back to feeding them. And if you know that that's the case, so you take my why, plus the fact that you know that you're being manipulated by your microbiome, that should make you angry. And that's why I tell people, a lot of people, me and my wife had to talk. You know, when I first discovered this and I realized that I was manipulated by my own microbiome, I had to get angry. I had to call it what it was. And I started calling my parasites demons. And that's a little harsh. It's a little harsh. But first and foremost, if they're causing you to break your body down, to destroy yourself slowly, that's like anti-God. You know what I'm saying? That's evil, in my opinion. And I know that's an extreme, and I know it's harsh, but it literally made me realize that it was the enemy. We are being infiltrated by the evil one. Just like the scripture says, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. when you're full of toxins and garbage that we eat, you're crowding out the Holy Spirit. And you're allowing the evil spirit or the evil one to fill up the void. He can't possess you because you're a child of God, but he can live in the filth that's in your temple. So if you look at it like that, then you're not. I mean, I'm just not having it. When the doctor told me I had a kidney, I was like, well, how do you get that? Then he said, you get it from eating raw fish and seafood. And I'm like, wow, I eat raw tuna every single day, so I can't even be mad that I got a kidney worm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm, you know, the wages of sin is death. If I'm actually doing the things that cause that, I can't be upset when that particular thing happens to me. When my blood sugar is 300, right, and I know I just ate a whole box of cookies, I can't be upset. I have to look in the mirror in that equation. So again, you know, this is our life. If you have children and family and grandchildren, and you want to be here with them, then you have to get upset. You have to get mad. And you have to say, I have allowed these parasites and demons to take over my thought process and to make me so weak that I can't say no to a cookie. You know what I'm saying? Like, that, if you don't look at it like that, then it'll be very hard to have success.
I agree, and I mean, we've had a long discussion even about Paul, who said, I buffet my body daily. We have gone there. And thank you, because you also confirmed. I was like, look, you got to speak to your body. You got to command it in your mind to listen and take hold of what you're telling it to do. So thank you. You confirmed what I said. I was like, it's all in your mind. But
yep.
So
you remember when we were young, they always had the cartoons with the devil on one shoulder and the angel on one shoulder?
Right.
That's real. But it's
right.
It's not like that. It's the microbiome. When you have, you know, candida and all that type of stuff taking over your whole body, they're going to make the decisions for you. You know what I'm saying? They're going to tell you that, oh, you can eat this whole bag of chips and all these cookies and drink this soda. And you know what I'm saying? Like, I was talking to someone this weekend, and they had one of those, the new monitors that you put on the back of your arm to tell you your blood sugar levels.
Right.
Like, I think everybody in the world should have one. And I guarantee you, if you care about yourself, if you did have one and you did that and you saw your blood sugar go to 400, it'll make you start thinking about some things. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I, you know, my brother said, man, you can't tell people they got demons and parasites. I was like, well, my delivery might suck, but I'm telling you the truth. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't have a way to, because it was so real. And in my, when I went through COVID, I lost 38 pounds in like 25 days. And I went 14 days without eating nothing and barely drinking anything. And I went 21 days with, you know, I had a couple of bowls of bone broth, a couple of smoothies, in a 21-day period. I mean, you know, I'm already an intermittent faster, so if you miss a meal and you're intermittent fasting, that means you're not eating at all. And so as I'm going through this process, I'm like, why am I not hungry? It's because my body was in extreme ketosis and autophagy, and it basically took away my entire camel hump. That's pretty much what I lost during that process. Now, I'm not telling people to do that. I'm just saying, when you get yourself rolling, you know, and it takes a couple of days, your body will attack all that bad body fat and bad bacteria because you're not adding to the, you're not adding anymore. So you give yourself a chance to get into the healing mode. So hope that helps.
Yes, that did. Thank you so much. That was great. I'm hoping to get this recording.
Whoever's building the house in the background, please mute yourself. Go ahead, Jay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I want to get this recording and send it to them because they're severe overweight, obese, and diabetic, severely diabetic, and arthritis. Oh my God. So I don't, you know, the why should be a big why. They should want to do it. But that mindset, they don't have it yet. So, but I'm going to send them this because you're a person that I know they will respect and listen to as well.
Let me, I'm going to drop some stuff on you guys right now. So if you're listening, and this will be recorded, and this is not me, but this is someone that has helped me tremendously.
Telegram.
Follow this guy. His name is Danny, but search Dirt Road Discussions. You can search it on YouTube or Telegram, and it'll take you to this page. And the whole page is about killing the bugs, and it's all about ivermectin. And, you know, ivermectin has been demonized because of the C-19, but ivermectin is a spore, and it grows on grass and vegetation. So the Most High, the Creator, was so, you know, he knows us. And so he put ivermectin in on the foliage, and he put hydrogen cyanide in the seed. Those two elements are, they, number one, they increase your oxygen level in your body, which in turn kills the bad bugs in your body. So if you want to, and we're all mammals, so everybody says, oh, I don't have parasites. If you're a human, you are a mammal. You have parasites, period. There's no one that can escape it. There's no one that can come in contact. They're everywhere. If you have a dog or a cat or a bird or a turtle, you have parasites. If you ever walked out, you know what I'm saying? Like if you're alive, you have parasites. You either have parasites or you are a parasite. There's no in-between. No matter how you slice it. Some parasites you can see. Most of the parasites you cannot see. We have trillions of bacteria in our body. They make up our whole body. Well, we have good bugs and bad bugs. You need them both. But when the bad bugs get too many bad bugs and not enough good bugs, that's when we get sick. Actual death, when you die, all death is you lost the battle. You lost the war against the bugs. That's why when you die, the bugs consume you. That's the cycle of life. So, if you want to be as healthy as humanly possible, you have to kill the bugs. You have to lower the amount of bugs in your body. And so go to that Dirt Road Discussions and learn about ivermectin. I'm not promoting it. You know, to be honest with you, when I created the Righteous Program, I gave everyone the basics, the nutrition part, the cleansing part, the change of terrain part. And I don't know if some of you remember, I said the next level of the program is to kill the bugs, because those are the things that's causing you all the problems. You know, all these quote-unquote diseases are bacterial infections that turn into diseases. So, you know, follow that regimen, do the Righteous Program, and then you'll give yourself a chance to be super healthy. I look at the things that I know right now. I'm 55 years old, and I'm just now learning how to kill the bugs and change the terrain and you know, all that type of stuff. I know for a fact I have extended my life just from knowing this, number one, but taking action on it, number two. So
back to the why. The only reason I got
is to make my why bigger than my cravings, bigger than my vanity, bigger than, you know, all the things that I do to make myself comfortable. I was like, okay, if I do the right thing, you know, 80-90% of the time, and that means if I want to have Dr. Chip cookies or a cheeseburger or pizza, I can do that and go back to my program. And so I implore you guys to, you know, sit down and think about your why. Look at your, you know, go in the bathroom, close the door, look at yourself naked in the mirror and say, hey, it's time for me to do something about this. Not the actual, you know, we don't have Lori, getting rid of that inflammation, being clear-headed. You know, you can feel when your liver is inflamed. Your liver is right there on the right side. So your belly button, on the right side of your belly button, if you take your hand and put it on your side, that you're pretty much putting your hand on your entire liver. You should be able to feel that that's inflamed in your gallbladder, right up under that rib, where your ribs end and your diaphragm, right there on the right. You can massage that thing, and you will stimulate it to percolate and move, and you'll be able to tell when you go to the bathroom when your gallbladder and your liver has purged. It smells totally different. That's when you know you're eliminating those parasites and toxins and unplugging yourself. And it's going to take effort and it's going to take time. But like I say, establish your why and then the right. So the reason is your why. The I stands for the intelligence or the information. The T stands for timing. You have to take out time to do this. To travel, then it's not going to be a good time. And then the E is the execution. It's the effort and the execution. And then the G is the GYSC is the just, you know, you have the right to get yourself together. And when you do that, again, your spirituality is lifted. You become a better human being. You start caring about others more. You start loving and caring about yourself more. But you also start feeling better and looking better. People will stop you and ask you, what are you doing? And then that will give you an opportunity to share that and build your business. So it's all built in. All you got to do is participate. When you go to the Righteous Warriors group, you can come in as a spectator, watch everybody else, and then build up your courage, get all your become a participator. So I laid it out for you, and I'm coaching everyone for free. I'll coach your friends for free. It doesn't matter if you're doing the program. I am here for you.
Oh, my goodness. You fed us well with excitement, knowledge, and my goodness. Let's get rid of those evil parasites. out with the bad and in with the good. So, oh, my goodness. Thank you so much.
I'm going to tell you a story right quick. So, March, not two years ago, in March, it might have been last March. We had a convention in Indianapolis. And the whole 2 weeks before that, I was doing the Righteous program. I was doing it really hardcore. And I started feeling evil. Like, man, I didn't even know what was wrong with me. I couldn't stand my wife or my son. I was feeling so evil. So anyway, we drove to Indianapolis. And I took my enema kit because I wanted to stay on point in my program. So we get to Indianapolis and we're having the event, and I brought my Kangen water machine with me, but I couldn't hook it up to the sink. So I was like, man, how am I gonna do my enema? So I went to Whole Foods and I bought some food grade hydrogen peroxide. And I got a couple of gallons of distilled water to do my enema with. I did the enema, you know, normal, whatever. Then I went to the event. And I'm, you know, we basically paused to go take lunch. We got an hour and a half. I go back to my room and I feel this weird feeling. I was like, man, I don't feel like I have to go to the bathroom, but I feel like I need to just go see what's up. So I go in the bathroom and I'm just sitting there on my phone, and all of a sudden I felt this sensation. And I literally passed like a 14-inch parasite. Like, I've been cleansing for 5 years. I was like, how is this still in my body? You know what I'm saying? So that, and guess what? I mean, that thing was literally causing me to feel like the evil one was controlling my thoughts. It was crazy. But I'm just going to tell you, the way that you think, part of it's you, but part of it's your microbiome. And if you have some parasites and some overload of toxins, it's going to influence you to think certain ways and cause you to, you know, to say, forget it. I'm just going to eat all of these chips or business, whatever. But trust me, that's not you. That's not God-like. So you have to recognize that, and that's why I always tell people, call it what it is so you can deal with it. If you just say my back hurts or my stomach hurts, you know, that could be anything. And when you realize that it's actually parasites and bad bugs, bad microbiome, you realize that, set your mentality, and then that'll assist you and help you do what you got to do to get rid of it. I didn't want to gross y'all out, but, you know, I wanted to tell you, somebody like me who's been cleansing for since 2016, I've been cleansing before that. I started cleansing in 2006, but I was putting in as much garbage as I was taking out that whole 10 years before I retired. But when I retired, I no longer, you know, I prayed to God to take away the appetite, and I stopped doing all those things, and then I started my cleansing. So, you know, that's when all the actual physical bugs that I could see, you know, there's a lot of microscopic stuff you can't see, but I'm telling you right now, I met my bugs, my parasites, and saw what they were and found out how you get them and where they came. Now it's easy for me to avoid those things because I don't want to go there again.
Okay, I got to say this. I got this from Chip Littlejohn. He was talking, and people were saying, "Man, I'm kind of scared. I don't think I want to do that." And he mentioned, he says, "Well, if you pass something bad, just take a look at it. And is there anything that you see that you want back in you?" Anyway,
When you're cleansing, you really can't see them. I mean, unless you fish it out the toilet like I did. You know what I'm saying? Because I knew what I was doing, you know what I'm saying? Like, I wanted to see. You know what I mean? But I will tell you this. The thing that came out of me in Indiana, it came out by itself. There was nothing to see. Nothing in the water but it. And that's what freaked me out the most. Because what it was what they call biofilm. And it was like a colony. It was like an apartment complex. For all that garbage. I'm serious. I'm telling you right now, all of us, we are mammals. So, you know, I'm not calling names or anything. You are a mammal. When you go to the doctor and he starts, you know, putting the telescope on you and telling you, stick out, all that type of stuff, he's not addressing you as a mammal. All he's going to do is address your symptoms. And that's, like I said, when you listen to this Dirt Road discussion, I mean, you should hear the testimonials of these people, you know, doing this protocol. And he's not promoting the fasting or anything. That's why I tell people, that's the missing link with him. But like I said, you'll listen, you'll hear it. But you gotta, like, understand, we only got one life, and being healthy is not as hard as you think it is. It really is not. It's just mindset first. Then you get the knowledge and wisdom, even if you got to get it from someone else. Then you commit. You don't have to. You're not going to start off dedicated. You just have to make your mind up, make that decision that, hey, I got to do something. And you don't look at it as a long month, year process. One day at a time. Let me get to this first 24 hours. Let me get to this next 24 hours. If you approach it like that, you'll have success.
All right. Well, let's make this moment a decision to be healthier. We can always step up our game and thank you, Coach Anthony. Everybody, let's keep plugged in. And we got Chip Littlejohn tomorrow morning, same time. And wow. Hey, thanks. We've been well fed. So let's share this good word. And if everybody were on the Amplify products, the world would be better. So let's do and share. So, hey, thanks. Love you all. Have a great day.
Thanks,
Anthony.
Awesome, you guys. Take care. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
This session is no longer being recorded.